You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings. Join in the conversation. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And hey, welcome back to the Drift Radio Show. Good to have you all along for another podcast of the Drift. And I know it's been kind of sporadic for me getting everything out here and trying to do the podcast. I haven't been able to seem to do it weekly. The studio problems and just problems with me, frankly, for that matter. I'm finding it pretty difficult to find the time to do what I want to do. And so I'm not getting in here as much as I want to. But what we do on the Drift when we do it is go over the news that we put on the dailydrift.com. And it is the news you need to know. So make sure you're checking that out, www.thedailydrift.com. News aggregate website. If you're tired of Drudge, you don't like the way it's going, conservative news aggregate, the Daily Drift. We've been doing it since 2012-ish, a little older than that probably, but figure 2012. I think we were regular daily, actually doing it at Daily Drift. So lots of things to probably talk about. I'm still trying to work on figuring out phones and getting guests in here. I know. It's been aggravating and it's tough, but it's kind of weird, right? You take a little time off and you start working on things, and then you start working on other things, and the rabbit hole gets moving, and the next thing you know, you're like, wow, I haven't done a podcast in a couple of weeks. So I probably need to get into doing it regularly and get some regular people in here. You know, Ash and I have done a couple shows together, and it's always nice doing it with him. Makes it easy, but we live pretty far apart, so we haven't been able to, and he's got his own studio set up and doing his own show, it's tough. I just got to find the motivation, I guess. It's election year. You think I'd be super motivated. I mean, I'm thinking about politics every day and watching the races and watching the Nevada caucus. And speaking of which, Bernie won last night handily by the looks of it. Looks like he doubled anything Biden had, tripled anything Buttigieg had, quadrupled anything Liz Warren had. So Bernie's on his way, which is amazing in and of itself. If you're a Democrat, if you're an old school Democrat, an old union guy, or just one of those people who loved JFK and you Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, whatever, that's not the party you've got today, folks. It really isn't. So you need to make sure you're taking a real good look at these Democratic candidates. With Bernie, you're going to get Venezuelan-type socialism. You're going to get that kind of stuff. And even if he takes, we keep the House or get the House back and keep the Senate, he can executive order us into a recession in short order. And so I want to remind folks as we get closer to election here, we've got primary here in Michigan, I think, coming up in March. So a few short weeks away to do your homework. I mean, here in Michigan, you can cross party lines and go vote in the Democratic primary if you want. If you want to do the right thing and vote for there is no moderate candidate, so I guess you really can't do the right thing. Maybe you should cross over and do the Bernie thing, right? Is he the most beatable? Don't be surprised. But when you look at a Bernie rally, what do you see most of the time? You're seeing a bunch of young kids, you know, nobody over the age of 25, 30. Young kids who have been indoctrinated by our school system, and therein lies the rub, right? It's the school system that is indoctrinating and not teaching our children, and making it for our children to say communism and socialism is acceptable. Well, it's not. You know, you can't have these young people being indoctrinated like this. It takes a lot of, everyone comes out of college a little on the liberal side. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But over the last 20 years, the universities or even our high schools have become just hotbeds of socialism. And these teachers are being indoctrinated. And now they're indoctrinating our kids into the fact that they think socialism's great. It's the be-all, it's the end. Look how well it worked out in Venezuela, Cuba, China right now. Would you really like to live in China right now? We'll get into the coronavirus thing a little later in the show, but it's interesting. So we've got South Carolina primary coming up next week, I think. in South Carolina, so there'll be another debate. And I didn't watch the whole debate. I'm sorry, this last one, Bloomberg's first. I was going to, I had all intentions to, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to get the summary from everybody from MSNBC and Fox News and CNN, so I'm not going to subject myself to 2 hours of complete and utter nonsense watching a bunch of Trump derangement syndrome candidates who have no plans for America, who have no positive prescription to fix what might be ailing us. Not that there is a lot right now. Okay, and that's the one thing that drives me insane when I'm watching the news and I watch these Democrats and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders saying the economy's not working for everybody. What do you mean the economy's not working for everybody? It's working for most people. If you want to work right now, you can get a job. You can get a job just about anywhere. Even if they're so hard up for people. I was with some friends last night. They're in the construction business. They can't find good help. Can't find people to work because the economy is that good. People are working. Everybody's working. Best employment for blacks and Hispanics and women and Asians. Lowest unemployment in recorded history for some of us, you know, as long as we've been keeping unemployment tabs. And it's just amazing. But and did you see Clyburn's statement last week? I can't remember what show it was on. Again, the out-of-touch Democrat theme, right? Clyburn goes to say, well, the economy's not that good. We had better employment under slavery. Better, fuller unemployment under slavery? Sir, are you retarded? Because number one, slavery is not a job. Hello? For the words like that to come out of a black caucus member in Congress's mouth is absolutely astounding to me. You see the same crap coming out of Maxine Waters' mouth. These people think that the economy is not good. The economy is stellar. Now, we've seen Senator Tim Scott last week, one of our black Republican senators in Congress, and he's saying there's going to be a 50% increase in black support for Trump. I think Trump got 8% of the black vote last time around, 2016. 50% increase would put us up 4 points, 12%. And if that's the case, and that's a fact, then this election will go for Donald Trump in the run. Hopefully that's a spillover to Congress and the Senate. Because you know what, folks? If you can see what the president is doing and the agenda that he's got set and how much he's accomplished with 3 years of foot-dragging and outright opposition from not only the Democratic Party but from the never-Trump rhinos in Congress, imagine what we can do if we have a good majority. And I'm not talking just taking the House back, reversing those seats we lost in 2018, because that's not enough. We need to put the Democrats out of business, and that means turning them into a marginal party to the point of a third party. Put them down to the size of the Constitution Party or the U.S. Taxpayers Party or any of the... Do not vote for Democrats, folks. That's all I can say this year. This is the year we end the Democratic Party because it really needs to be completely undone. You got to admit it's been entertaining watching it, watching the debates, watching Bloomberg come out with all the money. I mean, if you're like me, you're a lot on the internet, you watch as much politics as you can. I'm inundated with Bloomberg. I've heard other people say they're just sick of Bloomberg. I'm sick of Bloomberg, I can tell you that. But again, it's the wholesale lies. This is a man who wants to take away all your guns. That's Second Amendment. He is so anti-Second Amendment. He believes he's an elitist. This is a globalist, an elitist, a guy who believes that you and I, average Americans, are too dumb and too dangerous to own our own guns to protect ourselves. We're too dumb. He's the same guy that banned sodas. The 20-ounce and the big gulp sodas in New York. This is the guy who thinks, you people are so dumb. You're killing yourselves by drinking too much sugar. We need to stop that. Let's get people out of drinking soda, so we're just going to make it illegal. Really? And then he did the same with salt. You know, let's get salt out of people's diets because they're killing themselves. You want to talk racism? You want to talk misogyny? Bloomberg is everything that the Democrats and the media and the Trump derangement folks have been saying about Donald Trump since 2015. They've been calling Trump the racist, the misogynist, all these things. But you know what? We've got proof from Bloomberg's own mouth and all these recordings that we've had uncovered in the last couple of weeks. And it's just coming out. You would have thought he would have thought about that and how that he, what he said, when he said it, and how he can't hide all that. Because obviously he can. It's out now. I mean, I've got friends on Facebook who are complete Trump derangement syndrome people. They hate Trump for God knows what reason. They're just haters. They're, you know, these people that think he's not good enough. They think they're better than him. They think they're smarter than him. And the hypocrisy is most of them are far more racist or misogynistic than anything I've ever seen come out of Trump's mouth. The hypocrisy of most people who have Trump derangement syndrome is incredible. Don't doubt that for a minute, because these people are truly sickened. And I don't know if that's just a result of because they're not watching the proper news. They're watching MSNBC, ABC, CNN, and getting the garbage. Did you see Lawrence O'Donnell flat out calling President Trump a Putin operative? Come on, folks. There's just no way. When you look at what Bernie Sanders stands for, the man who Moscowed and did the propaganda films in the Soviet Union. Here's a guy who's just basically a communist. He can call himself a democratic socialist if he wants. But he's not. He's a communist. Plain and simple, Bernie is a communist. And he wants to indoctrinate all our young. He's basically abusing the young children that go to see him at these rallies because he's filling them full of lies, filling their heads full of nonsense. Our young children today have been brainwashed, and they're getting further brainwashed with an old... The one thing that I liked about this last Democratic debate was when Bloomberg called old Bernie out for being the socialist millionaire with the three homes. And you see Bernie tried to deflect, well, I just have one house in D.C., it's a house watch, whatever, because I work in D.C., and I've got my normal home, and of course, like thousands of people in Vermont, I have a summer camp. I think he called it a camp, not a cabin. It's like a $340,000 home on a lake. That's not a camp or a cabin, my friend. $345,000 home is pretty here in Michigan, that's a very big, expensive home. But, the hypocrisy of those people is astounding. So it's kind of fun to watch that, you know the Democrats are really in trouble when they're trying to stop Bernie because he's on the roll. Which makes you think, you know, what's going to happen? Super Tuesday is coming. Is Bernie going to be unstoppable? And what will happen if the Democratic Party, the DNC, decides in the end that Bernie's not the guy because Bernie can't win? And my feeling is Bernie cannot win. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. There might be enough stupid people, maybe 50% of our voters or better, are actually dumb enough to vote for a Democratic socialist, a communist, basically. I can't imagine. I can't imagine our union guys who have worked hard and paid their union dues and negotiated great health plans, health benefits and health insurance through their union jobs are going to throw all that away to go to a single-payer system under the government. Does anybody trust that government can run anything good? They can't. I was listening to Beck earlier this week, and he was talking about the coronavirus, and he said, you know, the biggest single factor for most of the people that have died via this thing is that they're all living under a communist government with single-payer health plan. Hello. Government takes care of everything. And I think depending on which report you're reading, because we don't know what we're getting out of China, what's true, what's not. All I know is there is a whole lot of video, disturbing video, leaking out of China on Facebook, leaking out of China on Twitter, I don't know how people are getting it out, but I'm assuming that most of that is semi-true, 90% true, 80% true. But it's that communist government that controls things. And that's what happens. Once they control your health care, then you've become a hostage. Once they drag your taxes over that 50, 60% mark, then you're a hostage. You have to do what the government says, because you can't do anything else. You talk about bread lines, breadline Bernie, hello. Once things reach that perspective, and don't doubt for a minute that they think they're going to stop at 50%, and the next they'll go 60% and 70%, and pretty soon you'll be working for the government. And they'll give you an allotment of food and tell you what you can and can't drive, if anything at all, where you can live and what you can't live. Is that what you want for your children and your grandchildren? I'm begging you young people out there to stop listening to that kind of crap, because it's not going to work out for you in the end. You're going to end up eating out of dumpsters like they do in Venezuela right now. It was one of the richest countries in the Western Hemisphere, Venezuela was. See what they did? There is no real communism, not anywhere on the planet. Soviet Union didn't do it because, you know what? The wealthy just change hands. It becomes the government who becomes wealthy. They control everything. They enrich their pockets. They live in the fat dachas. They're the ones with the nice Vermont cabins, the three homes, flying first class or flying in their own private jets. Did you see the meme the other day? Bernie got caught flying first class yet again. And he has a look of horror on his face as the guy in front of him, in the seat in front of him, is taking a picture, allegedly, of himself. But Bernie can see the guy's going to get a picture of him in the background. He knew it. Remember when Liz Warren was trying to hide from getting off that private airplane a couple weeks back? We all saw that picture too, right? That one made the news, lo and behold. It is absolutely amazing to see what's happening here. And you've got to watch, and you've got to know that, you know what, we can't let the president do this alone. And so I want people to think long and hard about your Congress people that are running. Look in your primary this year, and here in Michigan, coming up in March, we've got a primary. Pick the fighter. We need somebody who can actually take back. In my district here, 8th District, Michigan, I lost my Republican senator. We're normally a very conservative district. And Mike Bishop was our last congressman. He had replaced Mike Rogers. And he just didn't campaign effectively. Didn't get out, didn't show his face, didn't come on programs like this, didn't get his face out. He thought a few signs was going to win it for him. Well, no. Hello. Especially when here in Michigan we had the marijuana vote, which brings out all the liberal voters. We ended up losing it. We lost three good seats here in Michigan that really need to be conservative. Haley Stevens, Rashida Tlaib, Alyssa Slotkin, and Debbie Dingell, of course, which has always been a Democrat seat. But doggone it, you folks downriver in Metro Detroit, you need to take a good hard look at the Tlaibs, the Dingells, the Slotkins, the Stevens. Those people are not there to help Michigan. And it's the same way across the country. You've got to find ways to get these Nancy Pelosi's, these Adam Schiff's, these Eric Swalwell's. They got to get out of office. I know it's hard. Out there in California, you know, a lot of us on the conservative side just want to write California off. We just want to write it off. It's lost. There's nothing we can do about it. You guys are so far out, you're letting people crap in the streets. You can't go downtown. You've got homeless people everywhere. But there are a lot of good people in California. A lot of good people still in New York. These bastions of liberalism, there's a lot of good people who don't like that. And a lot of people are moving out. We've heard this before, right? If you're going to move out of New York or California to go to Texas or somewhere else, don't bring that same liberal stupid attitude with you, because that's what ruined your state. And they want to export that stupid liberal attitude to some of the best, safest, most conservative states in the nation. Texas, Florida, leave your liberalism at home. Learn, for God's sakes, learn your lesson. What you did in your state wasn't working. It worked so terribly that you had to leave and go to a new state. Don't bring that crap with you. Don't do it. Here in Michigan, we kind of did good in 2016. We fell back in 2018. A lot of reasons for that, but The biggest reason is not enough of us got out in 2018. Not enough of us campaigned and educated our youth. And if you're an older adult, a senior, boy, you've really got to step up to the plate. I know you've worked your years, you're retired, you deserve to be left alone, you deserve to enjoy your retirement and your golden years, but you know what? You can't. You have to get out and help campaign and educate your grandchildren, educate your children, force them to take a good, solid look. You need to go to these, the dinners, the family picnics, the Memorial Day organizations that you do, all the things you do over the holidays. You can't avoid the politics, folks. You really can't. I know I don't want to get into the conflict with my family. You have to get into this conflict with your family. You really do. You've got to get out there and take care of business, because we can't leave this to chance. Now, I feel very confident that Donald Trump will wipe the floor with any of the Democrat candidates that are currently on the scene, or any that may pop up at a convention if they go brokered convention, which could very well happen. Me, I'd actually like to see that in a way, because you know what? That will end up, if they take that nominee, what do you think? If the Democrats go to the convention, Bernie's got enough delegates, do you think they'll try and take that away from Bernie? Or do they realize what the consequences would be if they do that to Bernie? Are the Democrats willing to either A, put up a socialist as their nominee, or B, risk splitting their party in two, I mean, at least in two? Because if they take that nomination away from Bernie this time and don't give him the fair shake, especially if he's on a roll after Super Tuesday, oh, the Bernie bros, the Bernie hardcore base will not vote for the Democrat that replaces Bernie post their convention. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I mean, you'll see just a divide in the Democrat Party that may not ever recover. You may end up with, maybe that'll be the start of a true third party here in the United States. You'll end up with the super left socialist party, and then what's left of the Democrats, they'll be relegated to a very small minority, I would assume, if that's the case, because you're going to have, you know, basically, I really do believe that the Republican, how the House will go Republican, and that there will be a good return for Republicans in 2020 in the House and in the Senate. Here in Michigan, we've got Gary Peters, who's a senator. He's Democrat. He should be easily beatable. Should be. John James, we've got a great candidate. He's African-American. He's a veteran. He's a businessman. He's smart. He's capable. He's educated. And he's a patriot. There's a guy that loves America, who wants to stand up for America, who wants to stand up for the Constitution. I have a lot of faith in John James. I have not met him personally. I had him on the radio show a couple years ago, back when he was running in 2018. And he lost that. You know, Debbie Stabenow was a tough bird to beat because she's got deep pockets, a lot of money. But I'm hoping that John James is not making the same mistake that he made last time, that he doesn't get out into the right places. Here in Michigan, you need to spend time in Wayne County, Detroit, Metro Detroit area to get that vote. You need to take, as a good caller of mine, Joe, always says, you've got to take at least 20% of Wayne County in order to win the state of Michigan, because the population is so big, Wayne County, that you really need that. And so that's where he should be concentrating, that Wayne County, Washtenaw County, which is normally very Democratic, but you need 20% of those Democrats. You need that vote. Other areas he needs to get into, Saginaw, Flint, again, those liberal bastions here in Michigan, you need to get into them and get that vote. Now, John James should be able to do it. I'm hoping he's spending the time there that he should, and not out and about, because the rest of the state is Republican. They're going to vote for John James. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I think outstate Michigan is going to be clear-cut Republican up and down the ticket. And let's hope that does translate into state seats and state Senate seats, reps, county commissions, your municipalities and townships. Let's hope we get a good cross-section. And, of course, your school boards. You know, you hear me rail about it all the time. The school board's definitely, without a doubt, probably one of the most important positions anybody could ever run for. If you want to dabble your toes into politics, go for the school board. Mind you, a lot of work. School board is not an easy position. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of work. But you know what? It's so important because the kids of today that have become propagandized, it's because we lost our school boards to the socialists. All these ex-teachers and ex-administrators, these are the people that are running for school board and putting in curriculums which are brainwashing your children. So school board is, without a doubt, probably one of the most important of elective positions, because you need to get in there and straighten out our school system. If we want to fix our problem long term, that's what we've got to do. You can't wait for our kids to become 40 years of age after paying taxes for 10, 15, 20 years, finally realizing, ooh, that socialism thing isn't working out for me very well. By then it's too late. They've allowed the government to take over everything. They've allowed their tax. There's no going back. It's very hard to go back. Lose your guns, lose your First Amendment, you lose it all. So you can't wait until people eventually become conservative after paying taxes for so many years, because that's what happens, right, as a rule. We come out of school and we turn more conservative eventually over time. But we've got to get to that point. So let's make sure each and every one of us is out there talking it up. I know it's not always comfortable. You know, it's not always comfortable to get into what could be conflict, either on Facebook or Twitter. I feel bad. You know, I do get into conflicts because I've got some very good friends, friends that I love. I really do. But they're liberal, crazy liberal. They can't see the forest for the trees. It's absolutely amazing how they put on these blinders of hate. They can't look at facts. They look at the lies that come out of MSNBC, and they believe them. These are the same crazy people that believe that the climate thing is real. The climate scam is not real, folks. It's insane that people watch it, but I digress. I'm not going to go into climate today, that's for sure. Well, let me take a break for a second here, and then I'll start right back up again. Okay, and so we're back. Thanks for that. Give me a chance to catch my breath here in the middle of my giant monologue here. I'm looking up at the screen, and I'm running 27 minutes. I haven't even really got into anything on the Daily Drift yet. So we're going to go there. It's Sunday, February 23rd, and we're looking at live caucus results that we just went over. Bernie took Nevada pretty handily. But the next story down is what I call the coup continues. And if you're not super familiar with the Daily Drift, it's me going out, digging up the stories that I think you need to know. And of course, I just put the links on there so you can go to the actual websites and share it. It's a news aggregate. But the coup continues, and it's the deep state. You know, we saw again this week the Intel committee got some information from our deep state CIA Intel guys that are still, most of those guys are still left over from Obama, right? If you didn't know, Obama enlarged the National Security Council and put dozens and dozens of extra people in there. All of his appointees are in there. And he did it on purpose because he wanted to sabotage the Trump administration. So you've got, because you can't look at the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ and say they're all bad. These people are all bad. We need to get rid of the whole kit and caboodle. Sometimes you think you'd like to, but you 99% of the people that work in those positions, they're hardworking patriots doing their job. They're not out with their own agendas. But it's that top 1%, those appointees. And when you get bad appointees from a bad president like Barack Hussein Obama, and I won't go in, I'm putting my tinfoil hat on again, but I won't go into how bad he was and the untruths and the lies and his hidden background and everything else. That's a show in and of itself. But you've got people in there who are still working to undo the Trump administration. They want to find every way possible. And it's a coup. You can't think of it as anything less than a coup. This is the Democratic Party, which is afraid of their corruption being exposed. This is the media that supports them. They're tied into that corruption. And then the deep state bureaucrats who believe that they run things. And this is what has happened. It's our fault. If you want to blame anybody, it's us, the voters, who are at fault, because we're the ones that should have said enough is enough a long time ago. You know, when they started spending trillions of dollars that we didn't have and jacked our national debt to $23 trillion now, and we can go into that story, it was on us to throw people out at Election Day. We've allowed the same congressmen year after year after year to sit in those offices and get entrenched and become completely unaccountable to us, the American voter and the American taxpayer. So that's on us. You know, people talk term limits all the time. You know what? If you use your brain, you should be able to look and say, that guy's been there too long, that gal's been there too long, it's time to get rid of them. They're not working for me anymore. We should have been getting rid of lots of these people. The Nancy Pelosi's, the Swalwell. You know, if you live in those districts in California, Swalwell's district, Schiff's district, Pelosi's district, here at home, Rashida Tlaib, God help you, Michigan. If you people allow the Slotkins, the Tlaibs, the Dingles to continue to do what they're doing to you, have you been downriver? I grew up downriver. Downriver, Michigan is like, you know, there is no South Detroit, but it would be the southern, southwest end of Detroit. So downriver, we call it. And downriver used to be a thriving community. You know, back in even into the 70s, we had steel mills, we had lots of manufacturing, but a lot of that went away. You know, we went into those recessions in the 70s and we lost a lot of that stuff. Downriver today is, you know, a little bit of a ghost town. There are a few pockets that have made comebacks, like Wyandotte's a wonderful little town that's really kind of come back. It's like Ferndale's the place to be now. But a lot of places downriver have kind of become ghost town. Lots of empty shops, lots of empty plazas, you know, just run down areas. And what has Debbie Dingell done to bring jobs and businesses and opportunities back to her district? She's done nothing. Neither did her husband, John, for all those years. You know, at that point, they had become these national leaders. They didn't care about their district anymore. And that's not a congressman's job. Congressman's job is to look after his district. Do the best for his district that he can. You know, if there's some pork he can bring home, bring that pork home. And now they're all on board. They're all getting brainwashed. They jump on the Nancy Pelosi agenda and let's do that and let's do this, you know. It's interesting to see the Rashida Tlaib, who's done absolutely nothing for her constituents in Greater Detroit. Nothing. Folks, you need to throw her out of office. Hey, vote for another Dem in the primary, please. Throw her out of office in the primary because she should not be there. She spends more time railing about people in Palestine. Well, she's not a representative of Palestine. That's not her job. Her job is to take care of you people in Detroit suburbs. That's her job. Same with Haley Stevens. These people are worrying about the national agenda and the Democrat agenda and keeping the ability to kill infants right up through birth. All these national issues, that's not their job as a congressperson. Their first priority should be taking care of people at home, finding ways to bring home funding or to pass laws that will help their businesses and folks at home. And they're not doing that. Alyssa Slotkin, same thing. You know, she said she was all moderate and she would work with the president. She's done nothing here in the 8th District for us, except make us miserable. Well, so many of us who are conservatives, I've moved out of Washington County into the 8th District because I've had enough with the liberalism. I didn't want to be represented any longer by liberals. I did lose a good congressman, mind you, but you have to make sure that you're throwing people out if they're not being accountable to us. And that's what I want people to think about. So anyways, that coup keeps going. Keep watching. You're going to see probably another round of impeachment come up, more investigations from Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They're going to keep pushing that impeachment thing, everything they can to stop the president, because they know they don't have a prayer in the election of beating Donald Trump. So they have to find a way, some way to stop him and get him out and keep him from being on the ballot. I don't think that's going to happen, but there you go. Okay, so I want to move on. We've talked about on the show for years now, Representative Ilhan Omar out of Minnesota. Now, I've been very tough, probably one of her harshest critics, because I do believe that she is an anti-American and a possible plant paid for and put in position by foreign powers. And this week, we've heard the rumors that she married her brother, broke immigration laws. It looks like we now have proof. There are people coming forward saying, yes, she did. She married her brother to get him into the country. Was there bigamy involved there? How many laws did she break on immigration? There are some people that say that Omar is not even her real name, that she changed her name, that she's a Qatari plant here in America, too, which Barack Obama helped with, right? Whether you want to believe it or not, Barack Obama helped bring in Muslims from all over the world, especially Somalia, which is Ilhan Omar's, where she came from when she immigrated. So anyways, FEC violations, which is election violations, she's guilty of that. There's probably some financial violations she's guilty of. And now we're looking at immigration violations, because if she did indeed marry her brother to get him into the country, we've got a real serious problem right now with her. And I'm hoping that the two-tier justice system is not true, that that is not what we're dealing with in our country. We've seen Bill Barr let Andrew McCabe skate on the lies, right? At the same time, we saw this last week, Roger Stone was threatened with 9 years jail time for lying to the FBI, and they were process crimes. He really had nothing other than what they tripped him up on for process crimes and lying. He ended up getting 40 months, I think. Judge Amy Jackson, Berman Jackson, ended up relinquishing a little bit. She didn't go for the 9 because the Justice Department had said, no, no. Bill Barr had stepped in and said, that's outrageous. We're not going to do that. They changed what they were asking for. Why he's there at all is beyond me. And that's why people are so angry right now. They're beginning to doubt that Bill Barr has the ability to step out. And it makes you wonder. We've been told to wait for getting close to 4 years now. For those of us who have been paying attention to this scam and the illegal activity of the Democrats and the deep staters, we've been waiting for 4 years. The pundits on the conservative side have been saying this. They've been laughed at. They've been mocked. Well, it's true. Everything that we've said and thought is actually true. And yet we're not seeing justice. Right? When are we going to see Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, James Comey, Clapper, Brennan? When are we going to see these people who, without a doubt, I think it's the writing is on the wall. These people did all kinds of illegal activities. Susan Rice. Maybe it was Barack Obama himself, because we sure as heck have video and audio proof now of other people saying Barack Obama was aware and instructing everything. Can you ever see, can you imagine putting a former U.S. president in prison? I can't, frankly. I don't see that the American people, no matter what, have the will to do that to Barack Hussein Obama. Does he deserve it? I believe he does. I truly believe he does, because like Ilhan Omar, I think he was a plant. I think he was a setup. I think he was the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on the American people, because he is not who he says he is. He was not who he portrayed himself to be. And I think he's still behind the scenes working with global powers to try and pull a coup and get rid of Donald Trump and undo everything that Trump has done in the last 3 years. Now, it's been amazing watching. He pops his head up occasionally, old Mr. Barack, Barry, and wants to now take claim. This last week he was claiming that the great economy we're experiencing right now is because of him. You know, when he's the guy that was saying Donald Trump can't do any of that, we'll never see manufacturing come back. You're never going to get back to the employment levels that we have today. What does he have, a magic wand? Well, Barry, you were saying that not too long ago, but now you're saying, oh, it's because of what you did. Really? If you're that big a prognosticator, you should have been able to say, yes, it'll be good after I leave office. Doesn't matter what Donald Trump does. It's going to be good because of me. But you didn't say that back then, did you, Barry? You didn't say that. All right, I'm getting off track here. So Ilhan Omar, watch for that. Let's see what happens in the coming months with her. I'm hoping the Justice Department, and you can help with that kind of stuff too. If you're on Twitter, You're on Facebook. Look up the Justice Department is the handle for the Justice Department, the FBI, at FBI. You can, when you see these stories, these factual stories about Ilhan Omar, tag them and tag the Justice Department and those other handles, the government handles, to let them know that, you know what, it puts pressure. Does one person make a difference? No. But if you've got thousands and thousands of people on a daily basis hitting up the Justice Department on Twitter with a story about Ilhan Omar and the people that are now new witnesses in this immigration fraud, it will get somewhere. They will not be able to hide saying we didn't really know about it. Yes, you did. You trended on Twitter for 2 weeks straight. We know you know. I always hit up the CNN, the MSNBCs as well, because you know what? They know that we know. And they will have no excuse when the truth comes out. I did have a story on about the Democrats possibly screwing up the Nevada caucus. It doesn't look like they did. It looks so far that the Nevada caucus kind of came off without a hitch. They didn't use that same software program that they used in Iowa, so there wasn't a screw up there. But you know, and you got to ask yourself, how did Bernie do so well in Nevada but not do so well in Iowa? Was there something fishy going on in Iowa that kept Bernie from winning the top spot or getting that tie? It's sure an awful big jump for him in Nevada. He did very well in Nevada. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Let's talk about coronavirus. So the story this morning from yesterday shows that the virus has now popped up in northern Italy and that some towns in northern Italy are actually being locked down because of the coronavirus. Now, if you haven't gone out, I'm not here to sell you. If you haven't taken the time to stock up a little extra food in your house, maybe some extra bottled water, just have a few weeks of food in your house, folks. If the virus does get here and people need to self-quarantine in their homes, you're not going to get locked in your home like they do in China, right? You're seeing those videos. People are literally being welded. Their apartment buildings, doors are being welded shut. I just saw some video this morning of a gentleman. I don't know how he managed to get down the street, but he was videotaping with his phone all the doors that have been propped closed from outside. It's like literally the Chinese government is locking people in their homes saying, do not come out. Well, imagine if that were to happen to you. You know, and it wouldn't happen here, but, well, knock on wood, it wouldn't happen here. But if you have to stay at home and not go to the store because there's a lot of coronavirus running around in your community, make sure you've got food in the house. If you haven't ordered some prep food, I highly suggest you do that just because it's good on the shelf for 25 years, right? Use whatever one you want, the Patriots, whatever. There's all kinds of them out there. You Google it up, buy it, order it. It'll be here in a week. But you should have some dry goods, some canned goods, the stuff that doesn't spoil, just in case, God forbid, we end up with a power outage, right? So make sure you've got dry goods and canned goods in the house. Certainly wouldn't hurt to have some ways to get into some water and whatnot in case you run out of power. If you're on a well, you've got water in the house, or God forbid something happens to the water supply. So it's something you've got to take a look at. So make sure, if you do nothing else, go out and buy a bunch of ramen noodles, right? Stick them on the shelf. They're good for a few years. They're dry. They're easy to move. They're inexpensive. And you know, it was funny the other day. I actually took a package of ramen noodles to work because I wasn't feeling good. And I like that chickeny broth type stuff when I'm not feeling good. And I flipped the package over. I'd never really looked at it before. And it was 350 calories a serving. But I didn't realize there were two servings in that little ramen noodle package. I'm supposed to feed two people. I always eat one. That's 700 calories. So a little package of... Now, I'm not saying they're high-quality calories by any stretch of the imagination, so don't think that. But that's a lot of calories. If you're looking to fill yourself up, a package of ramen noodles is a good way to get some energy for your body to burn, stay warm, etc. So ramen noodles is not a bad thing to keep on the shelf. Doesn't have a 25-year shelf life, mind you. But it's dried noodles and some chemically flavoring in it, whatever. But it's total. If you're hungry, you eat it, it fills you up. So if you do nothing else, stock up, you know, get a couple weeks supply of ramen noodles. That's cheap. I think they're like $0.15-$0.25 a package. So you can easily stock your cupboards or your basement or your closet with some ramen noodles just in case. And just all I'm saying, I'm not trying to promote and scare anybody. I'm just saying, do a little preparation, folks. We all should have a couple weeks of food in the house, non-perishable food, because you never know if power goes. You could have the winter tornado outbreak this spring, something else. It never hurts to have that kind of stuff. But I guess they're showing now here in Italy, a female resident in Lombard region died only hours after a 77-year-old man succumbed near Padua in the Veneto region, which is northern Italy. They're reporting. So Italy's reporting a total of 62 cases, many of them representing the first infections in the country via secondary contagion, that is, not directly from a visitor to China. The deaths come a day after health officials at the World Health Organization, after the World Health Organization warned that attempts to contain the virus erupted in China in December were at a crisis point. So it kind of goes to the point. I've been listening across the spectrum, right? I've got the worst case, terrible nightmare scenarios. I've been reading those kind of articles. But I've also been reading the other end of the spectrum, right? And more people are actually dying of the normal flu or this latest season of flu than are dying from coronavirus. So, number one, don't jump out of your skin that the coronavirus, the novel corona, whatever they want to call it, COVID-19. And I've been doing my reading. It's hard to see what's real and what's not real. But you're looking 2-3% mortality rate, which is maybe similar to the flu. But allegedly, this particular virus is much easier to catch. If you believe some of the stories, they're saying it's just not sneezing and coughing that can get it to you, that you can actually get it via your eyes. And I don't know if that's airborne into your eyes or rubbing your eyes after you've touched something. But they're obviously having trouble with people in China who are contracting, even though they're wearing masks. So it's not just the mask. You need to take those precautions. But you got to be careful. So again, you know, prepare. Should something happen here? Should we get an outbreak? Make sure you're preparing for it. Now, some doctors that I was listening to on Fox the other day, one of our national doctors here in the United States, said, you know what, this virus can actually, some people will get it and hardly have a sniffle. It could end up like a normal cold, you know, and it makes you wonder how many people went to China, already contracted that virus, didn't show any symptoms, maybe didn't even have a fever, came back and have already spread it across the globe. I mean, is this thing out there and most people don't really get it very badly, don't recognize it as being anything different than a cold? If you're a lot of guys, we don't go to the doctor every time we get the sniffles. We just bugger through. We go and get our cold medicine from CVS and take our cold medicine, and a week later we're feeling fine. You know, we don't worry about it. So you have to ask yourself, is this virus, if this thing started back in December in China, is this virus already around the world in a bunch of different places? And maybe it's mutating, maybe it's not, maybe it's getting weaker, maybe it's changing to something that's milder, I don't know. But is there something else going on with that virus that we don't know about? I mean, you've got to look at a lot of the things you see on video coming out of China and think, ooh, that sure seems a lot different attitude over there toward it. Now, I did see it, and I'm not, don't take this story as fact, because I read it in one article, have not read it anywhere else, that this particular, and I think I actually put it in the Daily Drift. I'd have to go back a week or so to find that article again. I think I actually put it online. I'll have to look it up. That one of the coatings in this virus, the genetic code of this virus actually targets a chemical that's like ACE3 or something, which happens to be in higher concentrations in people of Asian origin. And that kind of crossed my mind. I was just talking last night with a guy who out of the blue said, maybe it's the Chinese trying to control their own population and cut down on their own population. And my eyes must have got big as I said, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, is that what China's doing? Are they trying to eliminate their own population a little bit, cut down on their population. It's a pretty gnarly way of going about it. If that's what that's what happens when you have communists, folks. Don't let the government get that strong. Don't be voting for socialists and communists, because that's what you end up with. Again, is this true? I don't know. But it does seem very odd that there's a possibility that this virus was not just something that popped up at the marketplace because somebody had bat soup or ate a snake or whatever. You know, is that what's happening? Was this thing? Because you do have to know that there was a bio lab, a Chinese bio lab, like a mile and a half from that market in Wuhan, China. Pretty big coincidence, if you ask me. I'm just saying. So, cripes, the hour is just about gone. So anyways, folks, make sure you're going to thedailydrift.com. Thank you for tuning in this time. I appreciate you tuning in. I'll try to get more regular, and I'm going to try and get online and get people to be able to call in. I'm working on it, but man, it's been kind of nice, frankly, having the time off for me, which, you know, I've been at this now, into the politics and the newspaper and the radio for a decade. And so it's kind of nice to have my weekends and to have some time for me and my family. And that's what I've been doing. So my apologies for being a little selfish of late. I know it's election year. I'm going to try and get out and do more and try to help you do more by bringing you the information. And the one thing I do every day is thedailydrift.com. So please go to thedailydrift.com. You can subscribe to it. It'll pop up as a link in your emails, and that way you don't have to type in www.thedailydrift.com to get there. If you have any issues with that, please let me know. I've got some work to do on the website. I've got to get it revamped, but it takes time and effort and, of course, money. And so I'm working on that. All right, well, as I see my clock and time running out here, I'm going to say, hey, time for me to get out. And I enjoy doing another podcast. I'll try and get one out there as quick as I can as well, and I'll upload this one. So thanks again for tuning in. Go to the www.thedailydrift.com, and if you want to email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com. Take care. We'll see you next time.